In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. We'd like to focus our attention this morning on the passage of Scripture that is involved in what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of the end of the sermon. Jesus has just finished preaching it, and there's some amazing, profound teaching. In fact, in the verses that followed, he basically was asking for a decision about what he had taught. Would they say, "Well, nice sermon, preacher," or would they realize he is offering salvation to me personally? It was a call for a decision. I'll read a few verses. Matthew 7:13, if you have your Bible available, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Second time he said that. "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Wow. That's the invitation. So exactly what did Christ cover in this Sermon on the Mount? Well, it wasn't like a lot of sermons that you would hear preachers preach with one main thought and 3 points and a poem. No, he talked about the Beatitudes. Those are attitudes that will be in the life of the child of God. He basically said, expect persecution when you become a child of God because you're salt and light. He said, focus on the inward qualities instead of the outward show. He says, seek forgiveness from those that you've hurt. Don't look in lust, and Christ will enable you to avoid this. Talked about the permanency of marriage, how to achieve it. He said he'd been hurt by others. Turn the other cheek. Give to the needy without a public show. Talked about the proper care and treatment of your enemies. Love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. Wow. He said pray secretly, and you will be rewarded openly. He taught the Lord's Prayer. He said, forgive all who have hurt you and then get your prayers answered. Talked about accumulating treasures in heaven. Said you can't serve the Lord and money. Said don't worry and fret over food and clothes. Trust God. He knows what you need. Seek first to do God's work and will, and then your needs will be met. Don't be critical of others. Rather, offer your help. And then he gave the ask, seek, and knock prayer principles, and then the golden rule. All that in one message. It was a lot to be understood, kind of like drinking from the fire hydrant, as you often hear the expression. But basically, he was trying to help them to understand a lot of things need to change in your lives. And it's only from repentance of the bad and turning toward the good, turning toward God, asking him to come into your heart and life and change you. But you have to first of all recognize that you're going in the wrong direction. Now, many people who are going in the wrong direction are very comfortable, but they're confused about how to get to heaven. You ask people, do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. How do you plan to get there? Well, and then you'll get a myriad of answers. And they're comfortable in their belief, but they're confused. I was settling in for a 2-hour flight, putting that little pillow behind the small of my back and kind of opening my book to read during the flight. And the stewardess was making her customary announcement. This is flight 1459 to Chicago. If you're not headed to Chicago, please notify the stewardess right away. Suddenly, there was a huge commotion right in front of me. Chicago? The lady said loudly. I'm not going to Chicago. I'm going to New York. Now, if that were you, what would you do? See, she was comfortable in her seat. She was ready for a very smooth flight, but she was desperately confused about her destination. And that's the way it is with many people today. Maybe that's the way it is with you. Maybe you're comfortable with what you believe. You say, well, that's good enough for me. It may not work for others, but it's good enough for me. Could it be possible that you think you're on your way to heaven? That you're comfortable with your arrangements, but you're confused? You see, the Bible calls that the broad way. It's the way that we're all on when we enter this life. It's the attitude, I want to do what's fun. I want to have my own way. I want to fit in with my crowd and be accepted. It's the broad way. No problem. You don't have to change a thing. But this is the way that you're naturally headed. But see, you'll be horribly disturbed by the destination for which you're headed. I'll say that again. You'll be horribly disturbed when you reach the destination for which you're headed. Jesus was asked in Luke 13, 22-28, are there just a few who will make it to heaven? And he turned the philosophical question to a very personal demand. He said, you personally had better strive to make it to heaven. Wow. I mean, just like in your face. You personally. Because he said, there will be many who thought that was their destination, only to discover that it wasn't. Way too late. Way too late. See, in Matthew 7, 21 and 22, it says you can be confused about why you weren't admitted into heaven. For Jesus to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And in the Greek, it means, I never knew you. In other words, it wasn't like, well, I don't know, maybe I didn't. No. It's firm. Jesus will say, I'm sorry, there was never a personal relationship. You see, you can be confused about your religious charitable works, maybe money that you gave, or missionaries that you supported, or hurricane relief, or gave to Red Cross, or things like that. You can even be comfortable with your church life, but confused about your God life. You can be on the church roll, but not be on the straight and narrow. See, it's not in religion, but it's in relationship. And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. See, there are just two choices in each decision. He talks about two gates, two ways, two destinies. Let's talk about those two gates first. The broad gate is the one that every person born enters. The Bible says in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born with a sin nature. Broad gate, condemned already without the Son of God, according to John 3:18. See, we're all born on the broad way. It's just natural. So Christ asks, are you committed to staying on that broad way? Would you like to know of the narrow way that leads to life everlasting in heaven? See, that's the question that must be answered. That's the question. We've shared with folks that as they are talking to people about the Lord, they ask them about, What do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about eternal destiny? And then the next question is, if what you're believing about getting to heaven is not according to the Bible, would you want to know that? And then you just go silent. If what you're believing about how to get to heaven is not in the Bible, would you want to know that? And if somebody says, no, not really, great, have a good day. You see, you're allowing them to choose whether they want to leave that broad gate or whether they want to make sure that they enter the straight gate. That's the one that's offered by our Lord to all who pass by. Now, why does he make that offer? Well, he loves you, and he died to pay your sin's penalty. He died to pay for your entrance into eternal life. The word straight means narrow, caused by obstacles standing close by. Narrow. So a straight gate is a gate that becomes very narrow because of obstacles that are standing in your way. It's like two pillars restricting an entrance. It's narrow. You have to kind of ease your way into it. Acts 20 and verse 20 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is what makes it a straight gate. Those are the two pillars that are restricting entrance, faith and repentance. And without repentance of your sin, wanting to change your ways, wanting to know how to change your life, and then faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross to pay for your sins. Repentance and faith, that's what makes the gate narrow. Now, it's wide enough for repentance, but too narrow for guilt. It's kind of like a turnstile. You know, you go to a park or an entrance somewhere, and only one person can go through a turnstile at one time. That's the way this gate is. Remember, Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So salvation, then, first of all, is exclusive. Jesus said it's by me. Secondly, it's inclusive. If any man enter, in other words, regardless of who you are, where you've been born, what your nationality is, what your race is, doesn't make a difference. It's inclusive. If any man enter in. Thirdly, it's certainty, you shall be saved. Fourthly, it offers liberty to go in and out. And fifthly, provision, you'll find pasture. There are many ways of life, but only one to our eternal life. So think on these things. A couple days from now, we'll be joining you again, and we will continue our thoughts on this broad way, this straight gate, helping you to understand where you stand in your relationship with God. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.